Podcast, episode 202, Fuzzy Navel.
That's what we're calling this one?
Yep.
But I had a shower.
Are we going to navel gaze?
Well, you know, I'm kind of amused whenever furries do get drawn with belly buttons. Because, I mean, wouldn't the fur kind of cover it up?
I just look at it, think of it more as just a dimple.
Yeah, it'd be like a little divot there.
Yeah. Still, it's... Because, I mean, they totally have belly buttons, sort of.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Placental mammals.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. Fuzzy navels.
Give me your pets for a placenta.
What?
I just watched Rat Race with Keel last night. You guys seen that?
No.
Oh, it's from back in the day, like late 90s, I think, and Cuba Gooding Jr. when he was still doing comedy.
Never saw it.
A vagina. It was amusing.
Yeah. So, we're here. It's been a week, and we're all still alive, so thumbs up for that.
I actually got a couple of responses on Twitter and such about the lube episode. A lot, you know, hey, that was really interesting stuff.
So. Good, good.
Hopefully people found that edumacational.
It's pretty slick.
Yeah.
Oh, you've been waiting a week to use that, haven't you?
No, I just thought of it.
The episode wouldn't leave you dry.
Oh.
Yeah.
And seriously, though, my hand smelled like lube for, like, the next day.
Yeah. It was amusing hearing you being like, oh, God, it got all over me.
Well, seriously, like, a little would seriously go a very long way on some of those. It was, oh, God, it's everywhere. It's on the wall.
Yeah.
It's on the fox.
It's always on the fox.
Yes, I know.
But don't foxes come pre-lubricated?
Nope.
Anus already ready to go?
Nope.
That is not an evolutionary thing that foxes have been bestowed with. It's only like that in the porn.
Because I know, like, dogs have scent glands. I thought foxes had lube glands.
Only if they're, like, genetically engineered.
You just give them a squeeze and then go right in there.
They are not lube dispensers.
So, I've had an all right week. It's been a little bit trying, a little bit here and there, you know, family stuff and whatnot. But otherwise, been all right. Went and saw my family on Thursday night. Went all right.
Cool.
Nothing on fire over there.
That's good.
Yeah.
Not fires.
Still dealing with the insurance companies. Holy fuck, they're taking forever.
For your sisters.
Yeah.
What the fuck? That sucks. That really...
That's really odd.
Yeah, and it's not Progressive. It's the other dude's company, and
they're dragging their heels.
Well, it's not even that they're dragging their heels. I mailed off the title Monday, like just next day. It's Friday, hadn't shown up yet.
Mm.
But they've also been dealing with that little bit of weather called Hurricane Sandy, so there's not a lot of people in that company to handle that. I don't know.
Things are broken.
Still a pain in the butt.
I'm trying to remember what I did.
Sandy broke wind and destroyed the East Coast.
Yep. Just.
It's just been kind of a generic week for me. Work, home. Smoke hookah with fuzz.
Yeah, that was good. Smoke!
Work, home. Smoking weed.
Dealing coke. Drinking beers. Rolling fatties. Rolling fatties.
I think that'd qualify any one of us.
Saren and I just go rolling down the hill. Rolling fatties.
I think the most exciting thing I came across this week was the new Pony comic launch. And it's actually really good. It's really well drawn.
Yeah, the new Pony comic, Hoofbeat.
You know, it's really funny because there is a... Here in DFW, there is a... company called Lone Star Comics. They've been pretty successful, been around about probably 30 years or so.
Mm-hmm. I've been to a bunch of their stores.
And, like, their original store was in Arlington at, like, UTA, and now they're all over the place. There's one up in Plano.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a variant cover with the characters reading an issue of Hoofbeat. And if you're a fur fag, you know that Hoofbeat is a dirty, furry, anthro comic that... features anthroponies.
Yes.
But this particular issue is supposed to be a takeoff of Tiger Beat, which is a preteen girl's, like, mm-hmm. Hollywood Mag. Mm-hmm. But still, I was kind of like, but I had to pick up a copy. Comic Salt's really cute. And if you like amusing all-ages comics, regardless of the content, but like ponies or not, it's still, yeah. It's a very cute, amusing little thing.
So, hopefully my stock of pony comics will be arriving shortly. They're being shipped up to me from Austin. Mm-hmm. And I'll have some of each of the main six covers and some of the subscriber variant cover. So
yeah, it's been a pretty calm week. I mean, the most exciting thing is I've done some audiobook work stuff. Mm-hmm. I got a new piece of hardware last week, mm-hmm. and I've been fiddling with it, trying to make it sound just right. Mm-hmm. And then I've got a big audiobook project that's coming up.
Oh, good.
Well, my main
from
site...
a furry author. Oh my god!
Woo!
See, my mate Siam went back to work for the first time in 2.5 years this week. So it's Huzzah. Been, yeah, that's been. But after the car repairs and everything, our backup is really running dry. So those couple weeks until his paychecks start rolling in is kind of. Well, it's like, please don't let anything hit the fan. Please don't let anything hit the fan.
I should be fine.
Should be. I'm not going to. My luck.
I'm just like, it'll be a doddle. It'll be fine.
So it's just, it's been really weird because we're having to redo schedules. We're used to having someone home all the time, and now it's like, well, mm-hmm. huh.
It's like you don't have a reliable, hey, go pick up blah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we've been rejuggling we have two cars and three people that work, so we've been juggling who takes what transportation, and mm-hmm. that's been kind of interesting. So, that's been mostly our week.
Yeah.
Yay, job.
So for Thanksgiving, my sister flew out, and we did Thanksgiving at Tieran's family's house, which was very nice. And they also take in the family orphans, so a couple of our other friends were there, mm-hmm. and that was really nice. Got to show my sister the house for the first time, which she was, like, super stoked to check out and everything.
Probably quite jelly.
Well, she has a house, too. Oh. But
still.
Well, I mean, she was, she did like it, yeah. And, you know, she knows what it's like to, like, want to show off her house, because she just got hers, like, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So she really wanted to see mine, and she knew I'd really want to show it off and stuff, so that was nice.
It's a big deal.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's kind of sinking in a little bit more and more, that this is not just somewhere else I'm living. This is totally different from another apartment. Yeah, it's like, now I kind of know what people mean when they talk about home ownership, you know? It's
different.
It's a different feeling.
Like, yeah. Check out my crib.
Yeah, for Planet Cribs.
Yo.
With the Z.
Bitches, check it out. It's the production room. This is where we make all that Murray Perry stuff that you jack off to all the time, brothers.
Wow, that was impressive. An army of half-naked fox boys.
Just producing, prancing around.
Producing furry porn, prancing around. Yeah. Lubricating each other with their lube glands.
they're on the palms.
Mm-hmm. That would be
so kind of like
so...
Spider-Man, thwip, thwip.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they're on the actual palm, that would be so useless for handling the stock, though. It's like every order comes like, with free drippings.
It's like they have to like hold their hand just right.
Oh, okay. And
only when they like they're gripping something, like a, gripping something cylindrical. Uh-huh. Didn't do that.
None of them could be like play Rock Band or anything to grab the mic and just squeak.
That's why you have mic stands. I have a mic stand.
Hey,
maybe
now you understand why.
There you go. So that was good. Had a pretty good weekend. She flew home on Saturday, and workload's been real low at the day job, so I took a couple extra days off this week and wasn't as productive as I wanted to be, but I picked up some stuff for the house today. Got a Christmas tree for the first time in the 7 years.
Did you get real or fake?
It's fake.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't. Fake sounds not right. Fake sounds like
artificial.
Made it out of paper mache. Yeah. So artificial. Let's
rephrase it. A non fire trap.
Yes.
A fake tree. I grew up with a real tree, so I'm biased.
I really prefer fakes.
I like real. I like the smell.
I can fucking spray it with Pine Sol if I want. I mean, who cares? So growing up, we always had a fake tree, and my mom always thought it was really sad how every year we'd drive down the road and we would see all these trees discarded in the trash, slowly dying, abandoned tinsel blowing in the breeze and everything like that. But we just took our tree and we put it in a box and we put it in the laundry room for next year. And it was like this family artifact that we always had our tree. And we had the same tree for like 20 years.
See,
whole childhood.
See, us going out and looking for a tree was one of our big family traditions. Granted, I grew up in the sticks. And, you know, all going out, looking through the trees, you know, picking one off the lot and, you know, bringing it home. That was something that I grew up with.
I just imagine it like Christmas Vacation when they went out and did you guys seen that, right?
National Lampoon's Christmas. It was nothing like that.
They go out in the middle of nowhere and it's like, she'll see it later, Clark. Her eyes are frozen.
Tell you what, though, those having to work tree lot, that sucks.
Why have you done that?
Wait, have you done that?
Yeah, I did it back when I was in Boy Scouts. That was part of our. There was probably some badge or something.
Woodworking.
Involved in it. But having to work the tree lot in December. I mean, yeah, it's in North Texas, but it can still get down to like freezing here.
Mm-hmm.
And just being stuck on the lot waiting when no one's around or if it's fucking raining. Ugh, God, that sucked.
Oh, yeah, that would
blow. It's one of those. There are no wistful memories here. It's God, that sucked.
Do you have wistful memories of Christmas in general, at least?
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've had plenty of good Christmases.
Okay.
We're actually going to have a tree here this year, too.
Oh, you are?
Oh, okay. Cool. That's right.
Webster purchased a new one.
Her old one was still pretty good.
She wanted a new one.
Okay.
She got a new one, and it's 7 foot. So it fits our ceilings here.
Ha! Mine is 7.5.
Booyah! You have a taller ceiling than we do.
Okay, fine.
It's a 7. It's a 7 foot. I don't know if it's pre-lit or not, but we'll figure out where we're going to put it.
Yeah, ours is the pre-lit one. The picture I tweeted.
It looks nice.
There's no ornaments on it yet because I had just set it up and turned it on. But I guess Taryn and I will dig out some ornaments here.
Should I go to Toys R Us and get you some pony ornaments?
Tempting. I want the canine Christmas ornament that I saw on Facebook.
Oh yeah, that was
canine as in the
Doctor Who.
Dark robot dog.
The robot dog.
I realized it's like
not like a fucking canine Christmas ornament from Bad Dragon or something. Yeah.
I was thinking like something from Hallmark. It's a dog
cop glittering with tinsel.
Merry Dickmas. God, I could just see that. They have like, you know, where they have the mini dongs, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They could put a piece of tinsel in the tip and then like make sure that like the tinsel goes through the bottom of it.
They just give it a PA and that's where the thread goes to hang it off.
No. The tinsel would be molded inside the toy. So it looks like it has like a string of jizz or cum.
Oh my God.
At the tip.
Oh God.
It would have to be the silvery tinsel.
Yeah, yes. That'd be so terrible.
So I think
you're giving them ideas.
I know, right?
That's if they even listen to us.
I think we already gave them the pony vag idea.
So I'm thinking about putting up our tree on Sunday.
Yeah. Actually, tomorrow is when we're doing the tree thing here. Oh, dear. So we'll have to rearrange some stuff. Because Webster does the ornament thing, and the ornament thing's here this year because she lives here now.
So you need to put up the tree somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a thing at 9, and then there's ponies. How are you going to handle all this?
So the
thing at 9.
The thing at 9 is at 9?
It's at 9. You be there a couple minutes before 9. It starts at 9, so be there ahead of time.
I may say fuck that because I've already done it.
I've seen the hotel before. I don't necessarily have to see ponies.
Well, I figure you got to record at some point.
Yeah, I got to record it too.
Yeah.
So we've got we got all that tomorrow. Sunday, I have to run some errands. Sarah's got a wedding tomorrow, so he's going to be off doing his own thing.
And I was kind of hoping it was like at noon or something like that.
No. We had to get in before they had their other groups that day.
Lazy for a fact time.
And then so hoping to maybe go see a movie late tomorrow night with Siam, but not sure about that.
Went and saw Skyfall. Was a Bond film.
I'm thinking because we've been so low on funds, I've missed a lot of the movies this fall. They've got Looper playing in the Dollar Theater, and I'm thinking I'm going to go catch that. I've heard a lot of good things about it.
Yeah.
I might encourage Panther and Webster to go see that. They were really big on wanting to see that movie, and they didn't get a chance to see it.
Yeah, well, we were broke, so, yeah.
Well, I've got to catch up on orders this weekend. We had a bunch of orders because of our sale that we ran for.
Yeah, that went well for y'all?
That went very well. Cool. Yeah, a little more than last year, which is nice.
So. Everybody did a Black Friday sale, even for Planet, so.
Yep. Black Friday / Cyber Monday, so.
Thumbs up.
I'm sure we'll do something else at some point, but yeah, it went well.
I've got the first of Cookie Geddon on the way. I've got 10 pounds of oranges sliced up and curing in my fridge.
All right.
Cookie Geddon.
That'll be fun.
Mm. Oh.
So.
Because that'll be like, what, mid-December at some point?
Yeah, I'm thinking around the 15th. 15th, okay. I think, is the exact day, actually.
That's weekend day.
So.
Oh, holy fuck, tomorrow is December.
Like, I know, right?
Where did 2012 go? Jeez.
I don't know.
Dude, wait. Only 12 more days.
Aww.
Fuck.
12 more days.
No Christmas.
12 more days until the end of the world.
Oh.
Holy crap, man.
Tomorrow's actually...
There are going to be some disappointed fuckers on the 13th, let me tell you.
Game over, man. Game over.
Tomorrow's actually... I'm not working, but it would be my fourth year anniversary at my current job.
Cool.
So it's the longest I've been at any one particular job pretty much ever. I mean, I had other stints. Like, I worked for McDonald's for 4 years, but it was at a bazillion different stores bouncing around the ownership. And then I worked for Dell for 4 years, but that was at two different call centers with two different parent companies. But so this is my longest job I've worked at for any one employer that wasn't via an outsource.
Mm.
So
I believe that's the paperclip anniversary.
Yep. And next year you might get a swingline stapler.
I don't know, but at 10 years, I know we get a nice watch.
I get some staples for the swing line.
I have a red swing line stapler already.
Apparently,
I got an Oklicon at the charity.
Apparently, swing line saw like a massive uptick in sales for their red staplers when Office Phase originally came out.
They should have.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, pretty cool stuff. Been a week.
I've been updating. My dad and his wife like to buy off of Amazon wish list, so all week long I've been putting stuff on my wish list.
Oh, okay,
nice. So I've been, it's like kitchen gear, because other than that, in books, I don't really get anything.
Just hope that. For my stuff for like the for Fiesta,
mm-hmm.
I made an Amazon, like, all right, Guardian, here's the list of stuff I want you to pick up off Amazon. I made a wish list. Here you go. So I hope he finally got around to getting it before things went off sale. We have a bunch of emails from last week and this week. Last week was really, 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 really educational. But we didn't get a chance to get to emails because it was like over 2 hours by the time we got
talking about
to
lips.
It.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, we'll save all of them.
I got some lube shopping to do. That's what y'all can get me for Christmas, some lube.
Don't get Astroglide, kids.
Some fucking, like, jet fuel grade fucking lube, you know? I don't know.
We covered that, which is the tippy top, or at least that they knew about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like $30, but it's not gonna...
You know, what's funny is that Pure was one of the first lubes I ever bought as a new gay, except back then it was called Eros, and it was still in the same black bottle. I'm not sure if the company got bought by Pure or whether they just changed the name over the course of time, but that was some really slick stuff.
Zip.
Yep.
Right in.
You're a bunny. It'll probably just slip right in.
Boop.
It's in.
Really? Oh, sorry.
So, Savard, do you want to start since you're to the left there?
I'm to the left. All right, let's see.
If you were any further left, you'd be a communist for Russia.
Okay, let's find out which... Okay, so the 19th, I think, was the last episode, or the last time we read emails. So,
let's all go inside.
So the one the topic from Nerdicon V7 going up is our email list, I think, from this week.
Yes.
I'm reading off my phone.
Okay.
There's
why is Panther making tears?
Because you're not reading off of an iPad?
Because his speakers won't fit.
Oh, his speakers won't fit.
Poor,
oh,
poor.
No.
Oh. Plus this side, too.
He's whimpering. Poor thing.
Yes, you will need a smaller entertainment center.
His dad has promised a fantastic pair of old...
Cornhole?
Cornhole.
of some fancy-ass speakers that he's... Mm-hmm. Lusted after for a good period of time.
Cornwall, not cornhole.
Cornballs.
Cornwall. Cornwall speakers that he has long lusted after. And apparently they are freaking huge.
Yes.
And they don't
fit. So what you'll end up with is two speakers that take up the entire wall, and then your display will be a black and white 19-inch TV with the rabbit ears, but it'll sound amazing.
Oh, he's got the projector. It'll sound.
Yeah. We'll figure something.
We'll have to figure
something out.
Panther. We'll have to project the image onto the speakers because it will take up so much of the wall.
Yeah, I know. They're I've seen pictures of them.
But yes, they're some very impressively large speakers. But our current configuration is too narrow for them. We'll figure something out, dear.
Don't worry.
Don't cry. I can't fap to this.
You can't fap to Panther tears.
He's trying to make the wall bigger.
You could always use this for the time being. Put stuff on. So.
Yeah, but then we'd have... We'll worry about it later. This is not podcast. This is not interesting podcast. So, anyways, this... email is titled Nerdicon V7. Hello, hosts. Did you kill it? No.
He was distracted by speakers.
No, he tripped up on the cable because
they're all different from where they normally are.
Yeah. I'm sitting on the couch with Fuzz this week. So I'm not on the computer, and you're not going to hear computer noises. We're touching, oh my god! So, back to the email.
And they've exiled me to the other couch because they don't want girl cooties.
It's the floral couch. It's the girl couch.
I'm going to make you sit over here just for that.
Yep. And any secret so beings manly. In the yes. background, as Panther is this week... It's Kylie again with the Nerdicon Con Report. I've separated into paragraphs by topic for your convenience, so feel free to skip any if you prefer.
Yay, formatting.
I staffed the 7th iteration of Nerdicon this past weekend, and boy was that... Yeah. Not a particularly furry convention, being the biggest free con in the Southeast, whose theme is general nerdiest rather than one focal interest. In case you don't remember my report from last year, I've been on staff every year I've gone, and I've only gone to Nerdicon. I'm starting to feel like I'm missing out. This year we had a few big differences for me, personally, because it was the first time I'd actually provided entertainment for encased this form of two panels, Bronies, Fad or Subculture, as a co-host, and Discovering Windows 8. The Brony one got a much higher attendance despite it being among the first panels in the morning on the second day, which made me feel very optimistic and got me already planning next year's. It was a general discussion forum format with the PowerPoint aside, and we all discussed everything from what a Brony is to all too analytic reviews of characters in infamous fanfics. The Windows 8 one was simply for teaching people about it and how to use it, so I never expected high attendance anyways. There was certainly an overabundance of pony merch this year, whereas last year there was the guy whose hand was half pony merch. And a third of it was Stan's. This what? Year,
about did you say his hand was half pony
merch? It was Stan, it was not hand.
He's some sort of horrible half pony beast.
Not just half pony merch. It's like, oh.
He's half a plastic horse, God.
Oh, no, Grendel pony.
This year, about a third of the stands were selling something film-related. It makes me very hopeful for this fandom's future to see it surpass Doctor Who and almost even Star Trek as the console's popular item.
No!
Hey. Aside from my own panels, there was also a zombie apocalypse preparation panel, with which That Sci-Fi Guy and members of The Walking Dead attended. There were TCG shooting and fighting game tournaments, as well as LARP, Parlor LARP, Buffer, and tabletop role-playing introductions. The artist alley in Ehlersden were, of course, always packed with people, and we only had to escort 3 out of some 2,400 people from the con, and no one was hurt. Hooray. Though we did have cosplayers try and use a real sword, shurikens, and a BB gun, but they were found and confiscated in time.
Wow.
I spent the majority of the con at the video game room mandatory bag/coat check, something we adopted quite a few years ago, after noticing letting people into a dark, crowded room filled with electronics while wearing a book bag and hoodie was not the best idea. The thing that got me the most was that despite there being more than 2 coat racks in plain sight full of jackets, sweaters, vests, etc., people still said things like, I need my jacket, it's black.
What? Slap! Slap them!
What?
Nothing I couldn't handle, though, after a retail experience. Smiley face. Another thing of note is in the auditorium where the costume contest is being held, I sat and chatted with the fursuiter, something the con really gets. She was the only one this year and the first I've ever gotten to chat with. I'm surprised. During the conversation, someone walked up to her and asked to be okay to sit on her lap. Is that something you usually ask a fursuiter?
Sometimes.
It struck me as really out of the blue. She took it in stride, though, and politely declined, keeping her mood high throughout the con. Seeing as how openly furry she was and how she readily told me her FA username, I'll assume it's okay to tell you that she's Sleek Star on FA. During that same costume contest, the Captain America cosplayer proposed to his girlfriend on stage. They got a standing ovation when she said yes. And judged by her ecstatic but unsurprised reaction, I think that he asked if it was okay beforehand. Plus, they were out and about, laughing, smiling after, so I knew it was a genuine yes. Aside from needless silly drama, probably the funniest thing that happened was after the convention closed and the staff and police ensured that all guests were out of the building, the sprinklers decided it was the best time for a thorough watering. Oh, they were out of the building and people were standing on the lawn. I was like, the fire sprinklers went off? That's a bad thing. No, the sprinklers went off outside. Ah. Now here's the part we have to forgive my memory, but it seemed to remember one of Saverin's podcasts mentioning that they were looking for conventions to attend. Well, I'm happy to tell you that Nerdicon is completely free and always glad to have honored guests. I'm not an organizer, so I don't know what the benefits are to being a regular attendee versus guest of honor, but they will tell you if you email them at the address linked to the guest section of the site. Personally, I'd be honored to have any one of you attend. If you're interested in finding out anything about the con, feel free to head over to it, nerdicon.campusnerds.org. They're pangolin from down south, Kylie Rouge.
See, Savage, you can get it for free.
Yes. P.S. Feel free to read this on air uncensored. If you don't, please reply to this email so you know if you're interested in attending. If you can't read this on air due to being overwhelmed by 200, please save this for 201. Too bad I saved it for 202. That's really cool, though. I'll have to check it out and see. I'm going to look where it's at.
It is in Georgia.
Georgia.
Columbus, Georgia. November 15th and 16th, 2013.
Huh. That might be cool. If that's anywhere near Atlanta, might not be too hard to get Flane interested.
Columbus is, I think, a couple hours south of Atlanta, if I remember my Georgia geography correctly. You just go down 75 a ways. That's not a Georgia accent.
I couldn't know.
I'm terrible.
All right, so how about you read an email, Fuzz?
I don't want to. No. Okay. Warp drives. Hey, you guys mentioned warp drives at episode 199, and I found this document a while ago on the internet and thought it might interest you. We really are close to developing this, and if you think about it, what I have said is just what the government feels comfortable in releasing to the public. I'm sure they have a lot more. Not going to say it's aliens, but it's aliens.
Of course it's aliens.
Thank you for the great podcast. I've listened since the very beginning and enjoyed every moment of it. You guys provide great entertainment when walking between my classes at my university. Connor, the Grey Wolf from Stuttgart. And it's a document on, it's on the space program website. Maybe you could, like, link this.
Yes, I will link the document.
Yeah, apparently there's also a link about a teleporter.
Nice. Well, they've figured out how to teleport molecules, like, 60 yards. Teleportation Physics Studies, Air Force Research Laboratory, Air Force Metro Command, Edwards Air Force Base.
Could be interesting. It's 88 pages long. Let's read it on the show.
Abstract. The study was tasked purpose of collecting information describing the teleportation of material objects, providing a description of teleportation as it occurs in physics, its theoretical and experimental status, and a projection of potential applications.
Hmm.
So, the government, and in this case, the military, is interested in teleportation. You just wait until they figure out how to teleport people's hearts from their chests, and then we'll have perfect terrorist hunting technology. Moving on. Shiva.
All right. Let's see. Hey there, Notcast. It's the Wolfie Man writing in with a con report for MFF for episode 2001.
2002. 2001? Holy shit. We've been at this for 20 years.
I'm old.
Well, we are old.
It's like, I have been uploaded into this cyborg body for 20 years now.
I'm just ahead.
202. Happy. Okay. MFM this year was an interesting con experience.
That's usually not a good adjective.
Was a dot, dot, dot. Interesting. Dot, dot, dot. Which is even worse.
It started up with a mix-up with my reservation that meant I was going to the Hyatt Place on the 15th rather than the Hyatt Regency. Fun note, the facilities at the Hyatt Place are actually better than those at the Regency. Since they have a sofa bed available for any extra people, the doubles wouldn't comfortably hold. Also, the plumbing and elevators all kept working, but I'm going to chalk that up to not being besieged by 3,000-plus furries.
Yep.
The problem with MFF proper began with the fact that my back and knees have been progressively designed to behave more and more like they're 90 years old. This meant that standing and walking for long distances isn't pleasant, but I don't quite qualify for handicap parking yet. It also means that I don't do stairs well. So when I was put in the middle of the tower with two of the three elevators going down more often than a nickel whore in a dime factory, it didn't do much to improve my con experience, particularly with difficult parking.
That's a pretty cheap whore.
Yeah. I know, parking elevator madness is common with furry cons, but they're still not something I'm fond of. The con itself, however, was quite enjoyable. The first day was spent getting moved from the Hyatt Place to the Hyatt Regency and then trying to breathe and relax while my brother hunted up his commissions for the con. I made it into a charity poker tournament for the first time.
Is this his real brother or is this his F.A. fake furry brother?
I have no idea. He doesn't stipulate.
Okay, please continue.
Let's see. He made it into the charity poker for the first time, lasted a respectable amount of time before getting knocked out, and going to eat at Giordano's? I don't know that place. And crawling into bed. Then, on Saturday, I got up and went off to the second round of the tournament. Again, got knocked out a respectable amount of time into it. I also made a teensy little delivery to the Fur Planet table that I'm sure you're going to mention at some point, and picked up a couple badges from Punya. I also tried to get into the Days of the Dead Chicago, in the hopes of getting some autograph and merch. I end up in extreme pain with a paper bracelet around my wrist, wondering again why the blazes I even bother with horror cons. Extreme pain with a paper bracelet? I'm not sure what he means.
That's the paper bracelet is probably Some cons don't give you a badge. They just give you...
They zip tie your wrists.
Yeah, like a club to basically indicate that you paid to be in.
Yep.
Okay. That evening, I made it into the third and final round of the tournament before Sunday's final table. Well, I think it's hilarious that I almost made the final table because I tried to get knocked out of it. I was running out of time to get to Pepper's concert, so I was making stupid plays to try and get rid of my last handful of chips. This resulted in my meager stack of about becoming about five, six times bigger before I finally left to let the blinds take me out as they would. Because of this, I was the last person to be knocked out who wouldn't make the table. And I suspect that's because the last three people decided they weren't going to lose on the final table to a guy who wasn't even playing anymore. At any rate, while this was happened, I was managed to attend Pepper's concert, which of course rocked. Picked up the last of their albums that I didn't already own, and got a hug. There was a brief moment where I was terrified that he was going to trot out this utterly terrifying, inappropriate song I wrote that he performed for the folks at Unfurled. But fortunately, he didn't let a misplaced set list and meeting me in person and remembering I'm the one that wrote it overwhelm his sense of good judgment. Sunday, after finding out my results, I finally made it into the dealer's den. I know, a furry going to a big con and not buying anything until the third day. You figure that one out. I dropped a significant amount of my money at Fur Plan as an apology to Tieran for that delivery.
Yay!
And a bit of with Sofa Wolf admitting.
Yay!
I've been enjoying my new products and looking forward to picking up a few more from the online store when I get a chance. Then I was off to home trying to get ready for TeslaCon, where I'll be hosting a trio panels in a week from now. Sobs. Just a con report for you all. I hope you enjoyed it. Probably be hitting MFF again in a day or two. I'm not sure what he means by hitting MFF in a day or two.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, well, we'll see what comes of a bit more organization. Now I'm off to head out and get my blood sucked out, spun in circles, and then pumped back in to partially replace the water. Howling yours, the Wolfie Man.
Yay!
Is he on dialysis?
No, it's plasma donation.
Oh. I haven't been able to do that in years. Let's see. Damn it, Saverin. After years of...
Because you've been sleeping with men.
After years of relatively immunity MMOs, you convinced me to give Secret World a plot. Secret World a shot. There goes my free time in general. Though, frankly, at this point, the dragon seems to be most generally benevolent of the lot of them.
You know, Secret World was pretty cool. The theme and the setting and the puzzling and all that is really cool and great. But I just, you know, it didn't quite grab me.
Yeah.
It would be cool as a single-player game because there was minimal MMO-ness to it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's a cool game.
Okay, so there's mine then.
Ballin'.
So I guess that's my turn.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Advice 2.0. Dear Notcasters, first of all, thank you very much for recording your podcast so consistently and splendidly. I started listening to you a little over a couple months ago, though I haven't made an effort to listen through all the previous recordings with the first one. I tried that one time with a gaming podcast that didn't really work out. I really enjoy your show, and it's quickly become my favorite podcast to listen to. I feel as my last letter didn't quite sum up my situation so well, on account of its lack of details and general shortness, so this will be my attempt to bridge the communications gap as well as provide a better understanding. Looking back on my behavior and thoughts that I went through as a child, it would make much sense that I wasn't the straight stick in the faggot. It would make much After a year and a half into puberty, I came to the conclusion that I like guys too. The society had previously conditioned me to think LGBT is a bad thing. Then, armed with my new understanding of myself, I accepted my difference, but didn't tell anyone for quite a while. I was planning on coming out to some people perhaps a year or two after that, as the shock had worn off and everything was starting to fall into place, but then I very abruptly became agnostic. That was what upset the process the most, I think. I won't go into too much detail, as religion can be a touchy subject, among other things like politics and sports, but it wasn't the happiest time in my life, and my parents pushing for confirmation, and me being an angry little bitch because the thing that I had based my life around wasn't there anymore. After several months, finally decided I didn't want to spend the rest of my life like that, so I started to change my attitude. The process, although much slower and somewhat ongoing, was much like my acceptance of my attraction to both genders. Years later now, I'm no longer reeling from shock, but here's where I hit another bump in the road. I seriously thought of myself as female for the first time. Dun dun dun. The shock of that was pretty scary for me. I've heard about transgender people several times, but I didn't know what it was because I didn't always picture myself as female. That was weird for me. Then, if I wasn't always female and I wasn't always male, then what was I? After some research, I came across words like androgynous and intersex. But the one I liked the most was gender fluid. Later, after almost a year, I feel much more comfortable with myself, and though unexpected at first, I have made the transition from a heterosexual male to a pansexual gender fluid person.
That's quite a transition.
I chuckle at the pansexual because I have some people that I know that every time someone says that, they post a picture of a dude kissing a frying pan.
Yeah.
This is all nice for me, because I feel quite good about how I am. But here's where things get tad interesting. I've been part of the BSA since the first grade, and have never not liked being in the program. There's the added bonus of being surrounded by a bunch of dudes without quite as much adult supervision. Blah, blah, blah. Stop thinking that fuzzy of dirty mind, you know it. Do me a favor and never change. I also got to meet some other non-heteros that I'm pretty good friends with. I've even come out to a lot of my friends, though some still don't know. I like going camping, I like rock climbing, and I definitely like hiking and spending time with my friends. Recently, however... Oh, boy. I've been approached with a proposition. This is where things get even more interesting. One of the boys, whom I'll call Jack, has told me of his exploits with another boy I'm going to call Nate. Jack and Nate have an intriguing arrangement that can only be described as friends with benefits without the friends part. Jack's made it clear that he would have no problem with me having similar exploits with Nate. Nate is likely to be compliant with that idea as well, but it's difficult to actually get his opinion on the matter. His parents are conservative types, as well as the kind of people who check their child's Facebook messages and the like. It's difficult just to broach the subject with Nate, as he and I do not talk much, since we're not all that sociable with each other. To make matters more difficult, Jack doesn't like to be seen talking to Nate in public. Okay. But soon, there's going to be a lock-in at a nearby recreational center. At this outing, there will be little to no adult supervision the entire night, so getting Nate's answer won't prove to be that hard. So here's what I'm asking. Do you have any advice for me? Any second or third opinion would be very helpful here. Thanks for taking the time to read my letter. I'm sorry it was so long and probably boring. Yours truly, D the Cat. Thanks for the Adam and Eve code. It was very helpful. PPS, I just looked at this really long. I'm sorry. Question is, should you take part in exploiting this other kid for sex?
Ooh, that's an interesting way to look at it.
Well, that's what they just said it.
It's friends with benefits without the friends. So they're just dudes that fuck.
Maybe, are they two dudes that just fuck? Is the other dude, like, forcing him into it? I don't know.
Doesn't say anything like that.
Huh?
It doesn't say anything.
It says things. It's friends with benefits without the friends part.
That doesn't mean he's forcing him or making him a prostitute of like, take it off slowly. I mean,
I like it when they cry.
There's nothing creepy in here. I mean, it's a little odd that like, okay,
then
he
doesn't like being seen in public with talking in public to this kid.
This sounds very much like the closeted, like the wannabe straight guys that, you know. They want to be seen as straight in public,
mm-hmm.
but they want to get it on behind closed doors. But, you know, I don't know enough about Nate to say whether it's exploitative or not.
The question
is... But then again, we're both former Boy Scouts, but I didn't have any interesting times.
Well, neither did I.
I assumed that you did, since you immediately jumped to exploitative. Is there something you want to tell us about your dark past into Boy Scouts, Saverin?
No.
Oh,
the Boy Scouts does have about as bad a history as the Catholic Church, though, when it comes to exploiting children.
That's true.
But
they didn't say that they were in charge.
No. Anyways, I'm going to say that if you're questioning, maybe you could, if getting an answer from him, sure.
Oh, but I see where you got the exploiting now, because he says exploits, which I think is a different context.
His adventures.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not gay if our balls don't touch. You know, you can get an answer from him.
Sounds like he wants their balls to touch.
But
a lot.
That.
I mean, it wouldn't hurt to ask. I mean, they sound really young.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm a little worried about that.
This email sounds like you're like 15 or something.
Whatever you do, make sure that you wrap it and anything else, you know, play it safe.
Yeah.
Just
remember, the condom goes on the top's penis.
The question is,
do you want to get into this kind of situation? I mean, do you want to just have a kid that you periodically fuck for the sake of fucking? I mean,
yeah.
I guess whatever turns your screw, but, you know. I don't know, doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me. But.
Oh, it sounds awesome to me. I mean, if you're all of age and consenting, and this other kid isn't being pushed into something that he doesn't want to do or something like that, if everything's on the up and up and shit like that, there's no harm in asking him if he wants to fuck around.
I mean, if what Fuzz says is the situation, then yeah, there's not a problem, but if the other kid's getting pimped out, then that's not kosher at all. So, tailor your response to which variant of the answer was correct.
Yeah, if he's trying to earn his whore merit badge or something like
that. He's trying to earn his rusty wagon wheel badge.
Then, yeah, that wouldn't be necessarily...
Still, that seems like a weird situation.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Read an email for us.
Here's an email with virtually no capitalization.
Yeah.
Or punctuation. Like, you're 18. You've had a public school education by now. Why don't you write gooder? Okay. Long time listener, first time writer. Hello, the funny nod of the cast. I know this is off topic, but I need some help. But before I get that, let me introduce myself. My name is Alad, or Alad Softbelly 90 on FA. My fursona is a rat, and I really need help. I have a boyfriend. Yes, I have a gay fat fur, so deal with it. Okay, I'm gonna stop right here because when I initially read this, like, you're a fat gay fur, so deal with it. I'm like, what the fuck is there to deal with? We're the entire cast are fat bisexuals. What? Why so combative for no fucking reason whatsoever? It just struck me as
it's very kind of out there.
Yeah, I have a boyfriend that I've been mated for 3 whole years, and recently have been seeing 2 other males behind his back.
Ooh.
And I've been their secret boyfriends for a while, but here is where my problem is. If my badger boyfriend, that's my boyfriend fursona, a fat badger, and he the one I've been mated for 3 years, we got that, finds out about my secret boyfriends, he will be mad. Makes sense? And I don't know how to deal with it. So how could I deal with him if he finds out? Just a note, my badger mate is 30 years old and I am 18 year old. I just turned 18 this year. He lives in Georgia, and I live in New Mexico, and should I break up with him? From Alan. So, there's a lot, there's a few things that, there's a few things
like
that,
Six Flags up in here. Look at all those flags. They're all red. Are we in communist China?
So there's a few things we know, and there's a few things we don't know. We know their ages, we know their locations. We know that Alan does not know how to use punctuation properly. What we don't know is you don't seem to express in your email any regret or remorse or anything about cheating on your boyfriend with 2 other guys. So the questions we need to know is that, are you looking to continue cheating on him and want a way for him not to find out? Are you remorseful and trying to find a way to apologize to him? Because fuck yeah, he would be mad if he thinks you're in a monogamous relationship. But I'm kind of...
But then there's...
It doesn't distinctly say it, but I get the feeling that you've never met in person.
And two, probably a good thing. If you've been together for 3 years, and you're 18 now, that means that
I just realized that.
And he's 30. That means that he started when he was 27, and you were 15.
Oh, God, I give you a pass on the cheating because the other guy is, like, e-dating a 15-year-old.
I mean, really?
Oh, damn it, furries. What are you doing?
I have don't to do wonder, this, is, kids. Somebody, is this somebody just trolling us?
I don't know. Could be. Because
this just, this has to be trolling.
Oh, I don't know. There are people out there that are just that silly.
They're a silly filly.
Very silly fillies. And that's a very nice way of going, what the fuck? Alan, here's the deal. You're 18. You shouldn't be dating a 30-year-old.
You shouldn't be fucking around on anybody, whatever their ages are. You're a dumbass. And...
Way to go, Shiva.
And if you're dating two guys and trying to be boyfriends, do they know about each other?
Yeah, I was wondering.
Are you,
about
like,
that.
Just breaking hearts in a chain here? What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Oh, son.
Alan, what do?
What the hell? This email.
Well, his current mood on FA is loved, so I guess he's happy.
Right up until his boyfriend hears this podcast.
Yeah.
Because he didn't ask us to keep it anonymous either.
Well, it's like, wait a minute. He just gave us his FA name so people on the listen to the show can be like, what the fuck, dude?
Okay, yeah, so that's his character.
He's engaged.
I don't even know. No, just stop. This is silly.
This is really whatever. I hope he's just trolling us. I really hope he's just trolling us.
No, I think he's for real.
For real, real, not play.
Yeah. I'm looking at his journals to see if he had any clues, like, so my mate found out I'm cheating on him or anything like that.
Yeah, whatever. Good luck to him.
He mailed a headless chicken to my mom. What? Oh, God. He found out. Run away. She even read an email. Let's get off this topic.
Because, oh, my God.
And then we can stop, save, do a song or whatever, and then...
Today I'm 18 years old, which means I act more mature. No. No, it doesn't.
Okay, so, hi, Nutlesses. Like, no,
Nutlesses.
I swear the puns get worse and worse.
Oh, good job.
Figured since you were going to have an episode about toys, I should write in for the first time. I recently finished listening to all the shows in order, somehow maintaining my sanity. Debatable, you listened to them all. I'm very interested in the subject of toys because I'm planning on buying myself one or more for Christmas and have some questions. First, I'd like to know what a good beginner toy would be. I've never had one, and although the thought of sticking something up my hind end the size of a baseball bat may sound appealing, I'm rational enough to know this is a bad idea to start out with that, and something smaller would be a good idea.
A small baseball bat. A wiffle ball bat.
I stuck things like plunger handles and a toy lightsabers up there before with no difficulty or discomfort. Okay, there's this thing out on the internet. It's called Not in Your Butt. It's by Tantus. You can find it on YouTube, and it's hilarious. Go watch this and learn what not to stick up your ass. I'm pretty sure these two fit that description.
Well, okay.
The force is strong in this one.
Well, you know, they have see, I'm quite sure it's the one of those cheapy little extendo blade ones.
Even so.
But I just had this brief mental image of him taking Luke's, well, technically Anakin's, original saber, the one that he gets in episode 4.
Yeah, the one that's all janky.
It's all janky and has, like, the little teeth around the top end or the bottom end. And just, like, ow. Once you get the teeth in, it's all knobbly and worse, you know?
So I figure I should start out with something a bit more average, but I'm hoping for your opinion. Next, I was wondering about your coupon code for Adam and Eve. I wanted to know if I could use it more than once from the same account, or if it would prevent me from doing so. I don't know. Have we? I think so, but I'm not sure. Also, I wanted to know about shipping. I live with my parents and can't receive mail at work, so I wanted to know how discreet packaging is from both Adam and Eve and from Bad Dragon. Finally, I was wondering if vibrators were good toys for males. I figured they are, but I'd like to be sure. Thanks for your time, and I'll be sure to write in often. Your show has been an inspiration to me. Sincerely, Murphy the Raccoon. Yes, I have to say Shiva has the sexiest voice. With all my stumbling, really? PPS, I looked up Chuckats and my brain fell over. So very confusing. Yes, they are. L-shaped.
You are.
So from the top, I don't know if you can use the coupon code multiple times. I haven't tried.
Yeah.
So,
apparently you can.
Okay.
For Adam and Eve, we can always find a starter toy, so.
Yeah. Well, that'll be our item this week.
Yeah. Shipping, discreet packages.
I'm pretty sure Adam and Eve is fairly blatant in their adamandeve.com.
Your best bet would be getting a P.O. box.
Yeah. As for the Bad Dragon, I don't know. I'll tell you in a couple weeks when it arrives.
It was pretty discreet. It was just a plain brown box.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it says the company name and, like, the return address or not.
Warning! Contains artificial horse cock!
Yeah, it doesn't say anything like that. It's not plastered with pictures of dragons fucking or anything like that. Most companies are going to have a pretty plain box or envelope. People ask that about For Planet. Now and then it's on the FAQ. Fuck. You know, it's always like plain white boxes or envelopes. And, you know, it does have our company name and the return address, but it doesn't have, warning, contains furry pornography or something like that on it.
Do not hand to children or sensitive persons.
Attention parents, your son may be a fur fag. Just on there, big stamp. That's a good idea, actually. I should get a stamp that says that.
So
we no longer ship a discreet pack. No, I'm kidding.
But if you really need
fur fag on it, anytime.
If you really need discretion, go to the post office. You can rent, you'll get a P.O. box for pretty cheap. And then you can have your own personal mail sent there.
I mail all my packages to John Q. Furfag, and then I only have to change the address. It's less work for me, more fun for you.
Let's see. Not really. No. And vibrators for males. I know I've heard some men that do.
Yeah.
Wait, was that a question?
Is vibrators are good. Make sure you get a toy with a wide base. You don't want one of the female vibrators with no slender base because things can get slipped upside past the sphincter.
Then it falls into the darkness.
And then you go to the vibrating hospital to get it retrieved. Body
forever.
No, you just open your mouth real wide and it just comes out the other end.
So
it's one long tube.
There are vibrators for anal play. Make sure you get those. And don't listen to him.
Yeah, unless you meant a vibe on the cock, because that's fun too.
Yes.
And that would be a different kind of vibrator. Did you need a vibrator up your butt or a vibrator on your dick?
Either way.
You could have one do the same. You just cleaned it off before you wipe it all over your dick.
A lot of the vibrators.
not good lubrication.
Like, they'll say that are okay for anal use. Then the ones will say not okay.
Big red stamp just says not okay in all caps.
No, it's a picture of like a butt, and it's like no.
I was just thinking like a brown starfish. No,
the circle and the hash through it.
No. Let's see. I think that was the main ones. I don't think we.
Is there anything else?
Not on that one. So.
Okay.
All right, so we have gone for an hour, so we're going to pause and save, and I might stick a song in there, maybe not. I'll stick something in between the two, and then we will.
That's just what I say about your buttocks.
Stick something there. Thank you. we're back.
Yay.
So
what? Oh, Shiva.
Adam and Eve. They're our sponsor. They make things that can you stick inside you. They vibrate, buzz, make noise.
Not for oral use.
Unless you want to vibrate your teeth.
Ow.
Some of those hard plastic ones probably wouldn't do very good things for your teeth. Yeah. Don't do that, kids.
It's a bad idea.
So this week's item from AdamandEve.com.
And don't vibrate your balls with a sonic toothbrush.
So do you have an item this week, Shiva?
Yes.
All right.
So the product this week is we're going back to one of the ones that we've recommended before. And it still has good reviews. We're going back to My First Surge, the vibrating butt plug. It's $34.95, but with our coupon code, not KNOT, then you get it for half off, which is, I don't know why it decided to no longer apply it, but so it's normally $34.95, but you get it for $17.48 plus free shipping. So you can get something pretty cheap to put in your ass. Now, this is a vibrating butt plug because the gentleman asked about if vibrators are good for men. Well, everybody's got a butt. So I'm going to guess that yes.
Yes, vibrators are good for man butt.
Hold on, try and get back to the product because...
Because they vibrate your prostate and that feels good.
Okay, so it's 5 inches long. It's only 0.75 inches in width, so it's a fairly narrow one. Not very wide. It takes 2 AAA batteries. And let's see, the material is silicone. It looks like a matte silicone. So it's going to be fairly smooth, and it's going to be friendly to lube. It's got 4 stars out of 5. It's got 6 reviews. And it's basically, it's got several vibrating settings. Vibrate high, medium, and low. It's got a gradient burst, which means it surges up, then stops and repeats. Intermittent, on, off. Surge, which is rises and then goes down. Instant surge, which means it goes up and stops. Let's see. There's another surging pattern. Roller coaster, which is rise, fall, stop, repeat. And pulsate, rapid on-off. It's great for beginners. You want to use a water-based lube with it. It's got a flared safety base. So, again, it's for your butt. It's okay to put this one in your ass, unlike some of the other things that people recommended in the prior email. Don't do that. Let's see. It's got a remote control to change all those settings. So once you have it in, you can, you know, use the remote instead of trying to funnel around behind you and change it. Let's see. So it sounds pretty fun, at least. Some of the people who wrote in said the material is smooth, easy to use and clean up. Vibration is nice. Only complaint is you can unplug it from the controller to get it to stop, but you need to open up the battery compartment to get it to shut off. So that was the main thing. But overall, good reviews. And some of these are about men using it. So there you go. That's a toy for the week.
Okay.
Yay, toys.
Coupon code NOT. AdamandEve.com.
KNOT.
All right. So back to the emails. Goodness.
This dun, one. Dun, dun.
Dear Awesome Notcast, starring Fuzzwolf, Saverin, and Shiva Cat.
Oh!
Apparently he just, like, copy-pasted the name from the FA
I saw that.
Page itself, because it includes our icon, including my super flappy horse icon. So, Dear Awesome Notcast, my name is Darius. I'm a gay Australian dragon who is in need of help of some kind, such I'll get straight to it. So after the past few weeks, I've been going through a lot of mental changes, so I'll start from the beginning. But noticing a lot of my status environment is not of a stable lifestyle due to the concept of a current homophobic status lifestyle. Huh? I'm currently living with a Christian mother who is currently 56, and I believe being gay is invalid and a choice. Okay. In my own personal life, I'm a happily gay dragon with no one in his life at the time. Currently seeking a place of my own upon moving very soon. It's looking to be around December 9th, so that's going to be very interesting. Due to my own mental health, I've been suffering a face of depression. Lack of sleeping skills over a course period of about 11 months now. I'm just going to read this email verbatim. And this is starting to really affect my self-esteem and, well, I'm not proud of this, but I've even considered starting to think of suicide off and on. Due to the current unemployment rate in which I live in, it's at an amazing 12%, and that's quite annoying, considering most of the jobs out there are indirectly targeted toward teens / people who are idiots, labor work, and that isn't what I want to get myself into, as I've been trying to get into a career in the information technology field. So apparently his state is at 12% unemployment, which is pretty awful. Considering most of the IT jobs are not located within the state I live in at this time, most of the jobs are in Perth. So saying that, I plan on moving there soon enough. So it should be an amazing turn of events, and saying that, I honestly feel like jumping off a cliff some days. Coming back to the term of sanity, I've been focusing on the views of saving up, and been doing a lot of number skills.
Number wise!
Do the needful. I've recently saved about $4,000, which I plan to doing... I'm just reading this verbatim. So it isn't like I'm not entirely prepared for this. About $250 for the kitchen, $2,000 for living room and bedroom, and $1,200 for the washing machine and fridge. The flight itself will cost me about $250 and the $500 for securing a place to live. At this point in my life, where I need to do shit for myself and not put up with any shit that I get from anyone anymore, as it won't do me any good in the long run. However, I'm seeking advice upon what I should do about this outcome and how I should address it. I've broken down about 3 times in my life, and sadly have tried committing suicide twice. I'm not proud of this, but I've suffered too much shit. So, a quick summary of my hell. No job. Seeking employment, can't get any at all over the past 2 years in the state I'm in. I'm alone, feel alone, and while I have no one in my life I care for, I've not seen my family for about 5 years and do not communicate with them, and it makes me feel disattached to them. No real love between someone I like, and it's very hard to develop feelings for anyone. I'm dealing with a homophobic and racist parent, and the parent is also very short-tempered, and I remember her trying to kill me when I was 13. Please help, Darius. P.S. You do an awesome show. I've been listening for over a year now and have many great laughs. This is my first letter, and I hope I didn't stuff it up too bad. Well, so, $4,000. $4,000. So, I'm just going to give you a tip here. Give you a hint. If you're going to go and move with $4,000 in your bank, and that's it, you're not going to have $2,000 for living room bedroom. You're not going to have $12,000 for a washing machine fridge. Just going to put that out there.
$1,200 for a washing machine.
$1,200. So, you're going to probably look for a little apartment, has fridge, access to a washateria. You're going to probably want to get yourself a $100, $200 futon.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, this sounds like he's in Australia, though, so.
Things are a little different there, but.
Yeah.
It's same basic. Okay,
the futon's upside down. But it's still a futon, right?
Yes.
But it's just one of those things that it's like, all right, you're planning on jettisoning off with $4,000 out of a shitty situation, which doesn't sound too unreasonable.
Your best bet is looking for someplace like a roommate situation where you don't have to buy a washer, dryer, and a full kitchen set. You just look for someplace that comes with a lot of that already.
Yeah.
And where you can just basically pay
rent. Find yourself some Aussie furs that maybe people that own a house already. I don't know. Because $4,000, if you would do it right, would last you a little while. Because one thing that you've not really accounted for, food.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta eat. Clothing. And short of hunting down koalas or whatever, you Australians eat. Jellyfish, great whites. You know, things you have to kill before they kill you.
Great whites? Don't be racist.
But food and clothes are something And, I mean, you know, I don't see a reason to stay in your shitty situation. Go yeah. for it. I mean, you gotta go out and take a chance. But just be a little more realistic, perhaps, in,
I also wouldn't slag off the jobs that are geared toward teens slash people who are idiots, labor work. That sounds a little bit, I mean, I know it'll suck to get a job that you don't really like and is a little bit hard work, but it's like, don't slag off people like that. Construction workers, for one thing, actually make a pretty good wage.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I know over there applies the same as here. Yeah. It's easier to get a job when you have a job.
Right.
Yeah. People see you with that you're gainfully employed, and okay, well, somebody thinks that this guy is good enough to hire on, so they'll consider you better. Plus, it helps you save up money to move. You know, even if it's a crap job, it's still money.
Yeah. I mean, it's just another one of the things. Do you have qualifications for this?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
have you gone to university, or you know, have you graduated TAFE or any of that?
I'm sure that's in here somewhere.
No, it's not.
It isn't. Okay.
Nope. He says he wants to get in the field. He doesn't say he's had the schooling to do it.
Mm. Yeah.
So.
You never know.
Okay. Well.
So yeah, the answer to your question is. Go for it. Just be careful with your budgeting.
Yes.
And don't go buy an upside-down bed. Why do you sleep on the frame? This is Australia, damn it!
So, next.
Yep.
Who read that one? Was that you?
I did.
Okay. Oh, this one's spam.
Yes.
Or it might not be spam, but it looks like spam, so we're not going to read it on the air.
Which I'm one pretty is sure it? It's spam.
I archive it, so.
Okay.
It was the one about buying ad space on sex sites or something.
Yeah, fuck those guys.
Yeah. Okay.
What the hell?
Subject line, zombies! Hey, not cast, it's Viper Wolf. I had sent an MP3... I had sent an MP3 for the 200th episode. I was just thinking of a dumb question for you guys. If you were a zombie, who would you eat first, second, and third? Since zombies seem to never get full. Hope you can make me laugh. P.S. Sent from my iPod. Sorry for the wall of tech. No, I'm kidding. He didn't say that.
I'm glad.
All right. Who would you eat first, second, and third? See, the thing about zombies is, I guess we'll have to take this in a theoretical, because zombies, in real life, zombies, which are really out there totally, because Walk Dead is a documentary, but they don't really have a choice in like who they eat, when they're typically depicted.
Whoever they catch.
Yeah, it'd be the first, second, and third person that you happen to stumble across. But in real life, who would you want to eat?
I would like to become a zombie some point during a mid-session in Congress, and I would wander to a particular side of the aisle and just start eating people.
Yeah. Only problem is you'd be looking for brains, and, well...
I keep getting shit.
Yeah. And, well, dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, it's a pretty good idea.
I would do my best to eat the delegation from Texas.
If I get nibbled or scratched or something, and you know I'm going to turn into a zombie, before I turn, you need to drop me into the Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah.
So that when I turn, I'm going to eat some bitches.
So there you go.
You know, and then once they turn into zombies, you won't really be able to tell the difference. Fags.
And then you could shoot them.
Yes.
You could shoot them in the head, and it'd be merciful.
Yay.
As opposed to just justice.
Yeah.
Don't shoot people, kids.
All right, well, moving on.
Don't shoot kids, people.
Subject is many thanks, not casters. Hey there, friendly Red Fox here. I've been listening to your podcast for almost a year now, and a lot of your advice has really helped.
We'll determine if you're friendly or not. Thank you very much.
I've been wanting to ask you guys something for a while now, but I never had the time to write in. Sorry if this is off topic, but I need some advice since there isn't a furry presence here. So, starting at the beginning, I moved to a small town with my parents from San Francisco about 4 years ago. About 2 years ago, I came out to my parents and my brother, who is also gay. I'm still pretty much a closet furry, my mother being the only one who knows. The biggest problem is that I'm living in an extremely homophobic and judgmental town until I can move someplace else. I've never been in a relationship before, since I wasn't looking for one until recently.
Mm.
Both my parents are against a long-distance relationship, but it seems to be the only way for me to date without getting gang-beat by the people in this town. There are some problems, though, like eventually I'll have to tell my parents or something. Personally, I want to keep it secret until I finish with college because my mother thinks I just obsess over anything LGBT or furry-related and likes to think me as still straight. And my stepfather is an ignorant guy who thinks that furries are just costume people who want to have sex all the time. Do you think I should try to avoid any trouble and wait for a potential mate until later, or should I look now and tell my parents when I move away? Sorry for the wall of text and any spelling mistakes, since I'm using my iPod to send this. Looking forward to hearing your response, Samaki Fox. P.S. If I didn't state enough information, I can write more in a follow-up email. Well, I think that was plenty.
So, he came out to his parents as gay, but he's worried about being a furry?
I would just, like, leave the furry aside.
Yeah. Just gonna put that there. Aside for the long-distance relationship, honestly, if that has to suck. Moving from San Francisco to some fucking hick town? Goddamn.
Yeah.
Feel bad for you, son. As for the long-distance thing, totally, dude, just go to college, meet a bunch of people, get laid, and do it then, because if you're really in an environment where you consider that you'd probably get your ass beat, well, probably not a good thing to take dudes out for dates in your town.
Yeah.
Just saying. Beyond that, I mean, it just seems like, you know, you should go to college, get that done, get a degree, move back to San Francisco, or a place close by, because that's a nice area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe a suburb of San Jose. Hayward's all right. Don't go to Oakland. You'll die.
It's a little stabby there, apparently.
Yeah. Even Oakland's afraid of Oakland.
It's basically, it's going to be call it as you see it. If you meet someone and it starts getting serious and you feel the need to tell your parents, that's yeah. your call.
I mean, it didn't hurt to talk to people online, but understand that you gotta, you know, if it's long distance, may not be the most serious thing. But, you know, if you keep it going for a while, go through college, and you're still talking to this person, and after you've already met people in the real world, you know, there's always things like, you know, Fuzz and Tyrion did, meet at a con or something. You know, if you're in California, you got multiple choices.
Yep, collect all two.
Hey, that's...
Well, one's local to San Fran, so...
Yep. And I'll be going to it.
Hmm.
Yep.
Bought my airfare today. Going to Ifs.
Cool.
It was like $325 on Virgin.
Nice.
Oh, that's good. So
that's cool.
Hopefully that helped. If you want to talk some more about us, you can always write back.
Yeah.
So. All right. I think that takes us to the final one.
Well, there's a... There's that one from that guy, but I figured this furry music podcast thing.
Oh, I got archived on mine. So
okay, so
because that appeared to be something that we needed to respond privately to, but we could go ahead and pip it.
Yeah, I mean it sounds cool, and this is something that you know I think is worth checking out or worth having because I mean it's something the furry community is really sorely lacking.
Totally. Yeah.
The music scene in this community is just non-existent, almost.
Well,
okay, a lot of people post stuff to FA, but there's not, like, as far as I can tell, a cohesive way to just browse the music the community mm-hmm. produces, and a lot of it's just random oonts.
Yeah, so. Mm. It could you really so use a central hub.
You could browse the music section on FA, see?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's right there at the front page, man.
Anyways, so, furry music podcast starting up. Interested in a cross-promotional shout-out?
Yeah, Savage shows what he thinks of your podcast. No.
I choked on a particularly hard piece of air. Okay.
Is that piece of air from Houston? Because I'll do that to you.
Yep. So, bit of background. Name's Potaroo. Furry from Toronto who's been in the fandom forever. Been chair of Camp Feral since 2004 and released a few albums back in the early 2000s. Been a guest at several podcasts over the years, though I'm starting to produce my own. Here's the pitch. There are lots of very talented furry musicians, but they don't have a hub like artists and writers have with FA. Since music is a very aurally centric medium, I hope to have a bi-weekly, eventually weekly, magazine to showcase new music, new artists, upcoming show dates, or song releases, and it's a cool way to spread the word about furry musicians. Also, working in the Canadian music industry for a few years, including a stint at Universal Music, yes, I worked with the Biebs, don't hold it against me, has led me to realize that furry music is grossly underrepresented in this fandom. Thank you. Normally, I've produced a few episodes and maybe start a Twitter campaign, maybe run a contest or two, then reach out to podcasters for cross-promotion and shoutouts. But after being ignored by a couple of musicians, I realize I'm in a catch-22. I need new music to get a listener base, but need listener base to convince artists to send me new music. So I'm starting to get a little campaign started. I'm releasing my first episode tonight. It'll be available at fuzzynotes.podomatic.com. So fuzzy, F-U-Z-Z-Y. Notes, N-O-T-E-S, all one word, .podomatic.com this evening, and likely on iTunes by tomorrow. If you guys would be willing to give the show a listen, if you like it, perhaps give a shout-out on your listeners and the show exists, alongside a call to musicians to get in touch with me and send me music. Perhaps in a couple weeks I'll have loads of music and musicians so we can kickstart a furry music revolution. Mm-hmm. Basic info is as follows. Fuzzy Notes. Show Fuzzy Notes, fuzzynotes.podomatic.com, and eventually iTunes and Stitcher. Contact them at fuzzynotespodcast@gmail.com or at Potoroo, P-O-T-O-R-O-O, on Twitter. I'm obviously intending to give you guys a shout-out in the next episode in exchange with thanks for the love. Da-da-da-da. I'm just starting out. This is a lot to ask for seasoned veterans, and I really want this to work for furry musicians and furry music fans to have a hub to keep up the whole community rather than hoping for SoundCloud shares on Facebook or mentions on Twitter to find new furry music. I'd like to hear what you think and would also appreciate the suggestions on how to get the word out. You guys are the experts, so that's why I'm counting on you. Smiley face. Sorry for the long email. Wanted to give everything out. Hope you're all doing well. Potoroo. So, I don't know if we were supposed to read that one privately or not, but there you go. You should go give that guy a listen, because I think that the furry music community is sorely underrepresented in there. Not everything's about dog people fucking and stories and pics.
They could be fucking in music.
They could.
Touch it.
There could be a whole subgenre of furry sex music in the vein of 70s porno music.
No.
But there has to be music out there that is not just loops that somebody threw together in GarageBand. And I know that there are people
there's like some people Coulson that threw it together
and
in
Matthew
loops.
Evil and
Sublevel 3.
Sublevel 3.
Bucktown Tiger.
Bucktown. But there's
Drufus.
Yeah.
Pepper Coyote. His band. Look Left.
But these are people that I think deserve more exposure in the community. And I think that if it's one thing that the ponies have done way better, it's the music scene. Faux Rizzle. Doesn't mean that anybody is... That doesn't mean that the music community
is... Furry doesn't have an award-winning composer writing songs for a show for us to remix.
But these are... They also make a shit ton of original music, too.
Yeah, but it's
so
all about
step
how
up, nigga.
It's all about how awesome Rainbow Dash is. We all know Fluttershy is the best pony.
I disagree with you, but we can both agree that Pegasi are pretty cool.
Yes, flat horses for the win.
So I think you guys should give this a shot. I want musicians that you've listened to this, send this guy some love, talk to him. If you know a musician, get them in contact with this guy. Help make this a thing.
Drop those links in the show.
Because that sounds pretty darn cool. Sorry we didn't get back to you sooner, but We didn't get the emails last week, but we got to you this time.
Surprise, we're pimping you.
There you go. Yeah. So, last email, Fuzz. Oh, then we can...
Okay.
Start the orgy.
So, I accidentally hit the wrong button and archived everything.
Whoops.
I think it's down under Dingo is the last one. Yeah. Okay. A warm and derpy Australian howdy, Saverin Fuzz Wolf and Shiva from Che Fuzz Dingo, a longtime listener since September 2011. Sorry that I'm a little late to the party, but congratulations for reaching 201 wonderfully naughty and delicious episodes, which have kept me entertained and well nodded for the past 13 or so months. I'm shit with maths.
Smiley face.
I hope thank you. I hope there is much more to devilishly juicy knots coming our way in the future. With that said, I would also, in fact, love to say a warm Aussie hello to my fellow fuzzbutt and scalehead knotcasters from all over the world. Before I get into the actual email, I would have to say that Safford has the sexiest voice. Sorry, guys, but his voice is fracking sexy.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, come now, listening to Saverin's sexy voice.
All right, yeah, work it. Work the shaft.
Cradle the balls.
Kiss the tip. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, without further ado, and I apologize for all texts in advance.
Oh, God, hold the eye open. If you close it, it's going to be awful. This is going terrible places.
Right up the nose. As I said a few seconds ago, the name's Shay Fuzz Dingo, and I hail from the currently boiling hot continent of sweaty, shirtless, hot men and swimsuit-clad women of Australia. It has been a while since I last wrote into the podcast about the problems I was having with losing my job and other now not-important BS I was whining about at the time, i.e. not getting a fursuit, and being overly sad because of it, and be upset about generally everything for 1 month. Boo, poor little Che didn't get his way. Pathetic bastard I was back then. Anyway, luckily for me, that has changed, and I'm back to my bubbly old self, and I'm never going back to the sad area again. The advice you guys gave me was to say at least so helpful and played a huge and fundamental role helping become... again. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I generally love you guys, and I thank you for all the help you have given to other listeners of this great podcast. As per your advice at the time, I seeked advice from close friends who helped me realize I wasn't alone, and they helped me face my demons and let go of my now small problems. The advice you guys gave me about not being so attached to getting a fursuit worked out very well in hindsight, as I stopped whining about my predicament and just took every day as it came, which actually made me an optimist again. Yay! After I was laid off, I was given a decently sized severance package, or whatever it's called, which I got much more than expected, approximately $2,000 more than I was expecting. So I did, in fact, use this extra money to buy a full dingo fursuit, which I must say was a pleasant but you never go full dingo.
No, just the... This is my severance package from work, and I don't know if I'm going to have a job here anytime soon... Fursuit time! Go on. Things seem to have worked out for him.
Was a pleasant surprise after I actually gave up thinking about a fursuit for a while. So yay, one thing unexpectedly working out. It was around this time of getting my suit that I realized how much I enjoyed suiting and how much of a role model I was to a lot of close furry friends, but also to some of the wider community that I started to realize my calling, as you will, inside the fandom. With this calling being an individual who brings happiness to others both in and out of the fandom and helps them with any problems they may have been having. During the past 7 or so months since I last rode in, I have helped countless furries with their problems and have even saved a few furries from meeting their end. These furries I have helped have thanked me, and it makes me grateful for the advice you guys gave me, so thank you. I couldn't have done it without your help. I have since done charity work and have been actively involved in the local community and have been welcomed with open arms, even being so much as loved by the general public, which is bloody cool. Another good part of this year for me has been attending a large array of fur meets, ranging from events with 50,000 plus people to small local fur meets and larger internationally recognized fur meets such as Fur Jam in Sydney, Australia, where I also met my lovely mate, Tanino. I have also helped organize 2 events this year, which I'm proud of, that went off without a hitch. Anyway, that was a basic update on my life since my last email. Now for a question in which I believe you're all well versed in. What advice can you give for a furry going to their first official FurCon? I ask this because I'm going to Midfur 14 in Melbourne, Australia for 7 days, 5 days for the con and 2 for touristy stuff.
Neat.
And I have very little ideas on what to expect. Any advice on what to do, how to act, etc. Note, I am going to fursuiting every day. Congrats again on 201 great episodes. Keep casting them knots and remember, bark at everything. Lots of love from your longtime listener, Chafuzz Dingo. Less than 3, Rainbow Dash's best pony.
All right. Well, that's good. You've been a force for positivity and goodness in your local community. Thumbs up for that.
So is Midfur the Midfur con is this month?
The big one. The big furry con in Aussieland. Where it's summer right now. Through some sort of witchcraft. So, you're going to go...
Oh, so it is the one that is basically this coming week. It's the 4th to 8th of December. So it's next weekend, I guess.
2 weeks from now. All right, well...
No,
in this case,
no, not 2 weeks from now. Tomorrow's December 1st.
Yes, you said the 14th.
No, the 4th to the 8th.
Okay. Oh.
It's like 3 days from now.
Oh, well, shoot. Better get this email out, this show out quick.
You'll be able to meet a good friend of mine and popular furry who happens to be over there as a guest. Kyle Gold is going to be there this year. So definitely go say hi to him. Go by his table and buy some books. That's my recommendation. Buy books. It's always my recommendation. Even if they're not from me, buy books.
So, I would say, while you're at the con, take some time to go and see things out of suit, because you'll miss things when you're drenched in sweat and pressed about by people in fursuit. Just saying.
Plus, it's going to be really hot, and you're going to need some time out of suit to cool off.
Yep. But you don't take advantage of the headless lion and drink lots of water. Do that.
Whole lot of water.
Whole lot of water. So, you know, the usual con rules apply. 6 hours of sleep, 2 meals a day, at least 1 shower, at minimum.
The Australian rules apply where you do all that backwards?
Australian rules allows blood. Don't do that.
Ah.
There's no crying, but there may be blood.
So drink 6 quarts of blood a day.
Only if you're a vampire.
Okay.
Con rules apply, you know. Be courteous. Don't be afraid to approach artists. Most artists really actually don't like that when people are like afraid to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Just people.
They
like...
don't bite. They're people too.
Don't offer to trade hand jobs for sketches because a lot of artists are women, so that doesn't really work.
Yeah.
Well, that and you're going to want to just kind of, if nothing else, keep it on a professional level, and then kind of. Ease into being a little bit more familiar with people. Nothing else, just be courteous.
Yeah. Treat people how you would like to be treated.
Mm.
What a novel concept. Unless you're like somebody who likes getting smacked around, then don't do that.
Or pod or...
So, Midfur is apparently pretty big, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the one big fur con on Australia, so...
I believe so, yeah. I'm not sure...
You know, when I
go
over
go to
there.
Opening ceremonies, go to panels, go to the board game room.
Yeah, for a go first time at your games. First official furry con, I would actually recommend going to opening ceremonies as a good primer to the furry con experience.
Read the con book, look at what panels there are, and try to make a schedule for yourself.
Mm-hmm. If nothing else,
don't. Be the first timer who gets overwhelmed. Find a pocket schedule. Make a list of things you want to see and try to get to them.
Or if you've got friends that are going, just be content to follow them around for the con and let them show you the ropes.
Yeah.
No problem.
Bitch for last year had 372 people.
Okay, so it's not going to be huge.
It'll be decent size. Yeah.
But, you know, still, opening ceremonies, go to panels, socialize. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be afraid of other furries.
Yes.
Unless they give you a reason to be afraid of them.
They don't always
like
bite.
They put a knife.
I read a good thing on Not Always Right the other day. It was pretty awesome. Involving that joke.
Well, so. So, yeah, they're your first official con. Well, follow our advice. Make sure you
Dark Natasha, Paul Kidd. It's quite a few people are going to be there.
Yep.
Yep. Cool.
All right. Well, I think that's about it for this week, guys.
Yeah. So, yeah, next week's December. Not much more to say there. I don't have any. I don't have any cons for a while, which is nice.
Yeah,
next you finally thing, get a break.
Get a little bit of a break, and Tieran and I. FC's the next one, and Tieran and I have already started planning out for Planet's 2013 release schedule, which looks like we're going to have another big busy year. So, look out for stuff from us
and in the future. I'll be at FC this year.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And I won't be at the Fur Planet table all the time. I'll get to see some stuff.
Yeah, tell me what the con is like.
You'll be doing more than booth lunch.
Yeah, which is kind of nice. I'll still be doing a panel, main stage, on Saturday, I think it is. It's the pony panel.
I don't think it's on the main stage.
So it's wherever it is. Because I am both a furry and maximum pony fag, I am going to be doing part of the 5-person panel at like FC this year.
By fandom.
Yep. I'm into a lot of stuff, but
some crazy shit.
I know, right?
Yes. Yeah. We're still scraping it off the ceiling.
I tell ya. I would never have thought pudding could have stuck so long. But yeah, I will be there with the co-host of my other show, and we'll be tooling around, having fun, and
I'm really glad that Flarecast is finally getting the kind of recognition that it deserves at FC.
Yep, because the pony community needs sex and relationship advice.
Apparently. I don't know. I've seen some of them. I wonder.
I'll save my commentary for off. Recording.
I love you, Rainbow Dash! Marry me!
Anywho.
Not impersonating anybody in particular here.
Generic pony fag.
No. Yes.
So.
Well, that's. So yeah, that's about it for this week.
Trevor's like, I need to do some editing in this section and remove the awkward.
No, he doesn't.
I don't edit anything except for when like I'm sitting down after starting the recording. And
So what other cons is everybody planning on next year?
Well, AllCon.
I want to go to AllCon.
So Sylvester McCoy is going to be at AllCon now. The Seventh Doctor. Dun, 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 dun. They'll have that TARDIS again, I'm sure.
You know, God. I don't know what all's going on next year, but I may hit...
For the most part, the same conventions that went on this year.
I'm not sure. I might go to Furry Fiesta.
I'm going to... Let's see.
He might bail on it to go to Las Pegasus Unicon.
Oh, yeah. I might totally do that. So, definitely FC.
Hey, Sentry, you're in charge of the video room. Bye.
Except he's little going to that, I think.
Steam cloud.
I think he's actually going to that, too. Or he may be staying local. I don't know. So, FC. Fiesta. I might try to do FWA. Maybe see if I can't get Flane to maybe come out.
Okay.
That'd be kind of cool if we could kind of arrange something there.
Yep.
Anthrocon is a given. I'd like to do Rainforest.
It's a good time.
I may end up going to BronyCon next year.
It's in Baltimore. Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, I really would like to have a job instead. And then I would, you know, finance my own trips instead of, you know, being single income and doing this. But working on that.
I've got, I think Sarah wants to do MFM again. This year was really, we didn't have the best time.
Nope.
I know you, nope for you, but, I don't know, it depends. If Sarah wants to do MFM, We might do that. Of course, Fiesta. And
I would hope you'd do Fiesta.
Yeah. I'm thinking we're probably going to pass on Oklacon next year because I'm going to be going up to, we're planning on hoping to hit the New England area around that time and doing Oklacon and a big trip to the Northeast with probably all three of us. That's going to be a little bit too pricey to try and swing.
But it's Oklacon.
I know.
Yeah.
It's Oklacon.
I know. I also...
New England will be there any other time of the year.
I have been up there, and no, you
want to... Oklacon.
Well, Oklacon can count on us being there, provided we're not dead.
That's right. And even if I am dead, I will haunt Wolf's hookah.
We've, So I'm planning on, since Mate finally got has a job, we can actually finish buying our anniversary gift. So hopefully around April, we'll hopefully be able to take the cruise that we half paid for 2 years ago. So finish paying it off, take our 15-year anniversary cruise, which is going to take a big chunk of time because it's a week cruise.
Okay.
And then another week-long trip up to see my mom in New England, and I'm going to be kind of...
Okay.
Time off will start getting a little pinchy after that.
Yeah, and that's the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at FC, Fiesta, FWA, Anthrocon, Tyrion will probably do Rocky Mountain FurCon, and then it looks like we're going to go to WorldCon. Because it's down in San Antonio this year. So it's only like a 5 or 6 hour drive. We've never been to a WorldCon. A couple of our friends from Soul Wolf are going down there. So maybe we can like, I don't know, split a rooming arrangement or at least have people to hang out with or something like that. Rainforest. And doing Oklacon.
Rocky Mountain.
And Tyrion's going to Rocky Mountain. And Rainforest.
I'm really hoping to be able to do... See, we haven't been able to do Schlitterbahn for a couple of years.
Schlitterbahn!
And I really want to go back down to Schlitterbahn and introduce Sarah to it. So.
And Tyrion will do Midwest Fur Fest, probably. And I think that's about it. We're doing a couple less next year. We may round that out a little more, but I may try to like roll over some vacation time. I may also try to like supplement it with some of the unpaid time that they offer, just to maybe build up a vacation time bank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe take a longer break or something. You know, get some other stuff done too. So, so that's kind of my con schedule next year. I think that's like 8 that I'm going to.
I just can't believe 2012 is almost done. We've got 1 month left of it.
God, I know.
And it's going to fly with all the holidays and other stuff. I mean,
the holidays and the short weeks because, you know, holidays for a couple of days and stuff.
I'm really tossing up on if I'm going to be going to Virginia like the last weekend of the month. So that'll take me completely out of state where we're going to have, you know, Christmas before that, cookie getting, it's going to eat up a weekend. You know, it's just going to, this month's going to fly.
Yep. And then pretty soon it'll be New Year's Eve party and on to the next year.
Yeah.
So I don't think we have a topic for next year, for next week's episode yet. What about like holiday plans or, you know, holiday theme? We probably did that previous ends of year, but
we can do that. We can start talking about letting people talk about their holiday plans, horror stories, great stories, you know,
horror stories. If you're holidaying in Vegas.
So, yeah, people can send in their holiday plans, their holiday stories.
Does that sound good, Savard?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, you heard what I said, right?
No.
Tacos.
Right.
You can take away from the computer, but only so much.
Yeah, he needs his phone to read the email. Don't maybe start printing your emails on paper again so that you can't browse.
Twitter.
Twitter is not that important. Pony fags will still be exploding in rage in an hour when we're done.
But it's hilarious.
And on that note, good night.
And big balls.